Welcome to Spiritual Healing and Psychotherapy. My name is Mary, or officially Dr. Mary Patricia Quinlivan, and this podcast is all about whole healing, healing physically, emotionally, psychologically, and spiritually. And we do that by being willing to see ourselves with gentle honesty and great compassion, and also by aligning with our inner spirit, our inner wisdom, and also the spirit within nature, Mother Earth. And as we align with this, we learn deeper love, deeper wisdom, and it brings blessing. It brings healing to us, to those around us, and to Mother Earth. I've been a doctor for over 34 years, and you can look me up on my website, which is livingawarenesswa.com, and also my Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube channel, which are all Living Awareness WA. So this episode, I'm not actually going to give it a title yet, but it's to do with our energy and looking after our energy. And this is the first time I've done a podcast now for a long time, probably a year, maybe more. And I am feeling a little vulnerable and rusty and not sure exactly what's going to come out. But I do know it's time, after a good year of lots of gardening and landscaping, and to pay a little more attention to my work. And I just want to start with, the last podcast was about losing my hair, and I was learning to trust in the consciousness of, I use rosemary and castor oil, and there's been other things that have been helpful too, and it's been beautiful. You'll be pleased to know that it's doing okay. So that's been lovely for me, and that was really a process of trusting in the love that's available to all of us. And for me, it was very much to do with worthiness, that I'm worthy of abundance, love, that consciousness is love. And that's been a truly joyous recognition, an experiential recognition for me. So I just want to update you a little bit on the journey for me. And as always with the healing and the spiritual journey, it does continue and it does deepen. And I have been absolutely privileged after many of you have heard me talk about Isaira, whom I still love and who still helps me. I have felt her spirit being around on numerous occasions, but I also still get on her website and listen to her wisdom. Since Isaira stopped actively teaching, I have had the absolute privilege of meeting a being called Tsiritsa, and she has certainly helped to continue my spiritual journey. I feel immense gratitude to have had two of the most beautiful, wise, deep, enlightened, experienced teachers that exist on the planet, I would imagine, though I know there are others. Anyway, my journey has been continuing, and I just want to share a little bit, I guess, about what has been happening, and that is that I've been deepening into consciousness. Right now, as I'm talking, I can feel Mother Earth as consciousness, as an increasingly, for me, gentle, ever-present, loving, spiritual flow that is available to all of us. And it's not that I'm there yet all the time, but it is deepening, and I am finding it easier to rest in that. There is still resistance, and I think you've heard me describe resistance on many occasions, and that is that our ego doesn't want to let go, you know. In my heart, I sense it's to do with, well, it's partly just what we've been doing for many lifetimes, but also a level of worthiness, and that we are more afraid of our light, at the love that is really at the core, than of anything else. So there is always still resistance, but it's I'm getting through it in the same way that hopefully you guys are getting through yours, you know, that recognition that when we want to turn away from healing because it feels too vulnerable or scary, that we know deep in our hearts we need to turn towards it. We need to turn towards vulnerability and just go there and keep going there. And honestly, with this spiritual journey, sometimes I feel I have to revisit the same essence. Like at the moment it's Mother Earth, and it's been that for a long time, feeling her as consciousness. But how many times I'm going to have to revisit that before I can actually do it with ease? Goodness knows. I'm imagining plenty, hundreds probably, thousands possibly, because it seems to take a long time to unravel this egoic conditioning. But it can only happen with a lot of patience and a lot of acceptance and a lot of love and gentility. So anyway, I've been deepening into consciousness, and Tsuritsu runs events, and I've also seen her in person on numerous occasions. And I've experienced and am experiencing more and more the help of enlightened masters and sometimes extraterrestrial beings as well. And beings like, on occasions, I've been helped by Osira, but also by Isis, the goddess Isis, by Merlin of Camelot, by Mother Mary, and by numerous beings whose names you may not know, a being called Hecate, and numerous others. And I want to tell you, I am absolutely not alone. These beings and many, many other beings are available to help all of us and all of you, and are with you often. It's just that most of us don't realize that. And of course, there are many extraterrestrial beings that are more spiritually advanced than us that are available to help us. And I have had the Pleiadians help me on numerous occasions with their very beautiful energy. So I just want to let you, I'm saying it because I want to let you all know that these beings are available to you too, and in fact are with you. We all have a family of light, beings aligned with love that are available to help us all the time, angels, spirit guides. So I want to encourage you to recognize that and know how supported you are and know how unconditionally loved you are, no matter what your head's doing and no matter how many mistakes you're making. And in fact, at the last workshop I did with Tsuritsu, though I was feeling the beautiful consciousness energy from the beginning, really, anytime I'm in the same room with her, I also was having very resistant thoughts, very negative thoughts going through my head towards Tsuritsu, all of which were just my ego. And after trying to accept them and, you know, working on being kind to my resistance, I finally recognized after about 40 minutes that no matter what was going through my head, this continuous stream of absolute gentility, which is consciousness, divine love, was always there. And there was no need to hold myself or hold on to those thoughts in any way, shape or form. It was just my ego trying to hook me back in. So I'm just letting you know that, because I know you will all be experiencing resistance as you heal. It may be in a different way, but you will be, you know, it's those moments where you don't want to call the therapist that you know would be valuable for you to see, or you don't want to meditate, or you don't want to stop still, or all that stuff, which we need to see with a lot of kindness, actually. But it does help to see it and be honest with it and gently step through it. And I just want to add, you know, it's not just beings in the spirit realm that are helping us. It's all our relationships, all our life. It's the animal kingdom, the birds, Mother Earth, the oceans. And the other day I went down to the beach. My husband was coming. He came in a separate car because quite often we just want to do our own thing. And I got to the beach and I was about to walk in a direction that my husband normally goes. He likes to meditate at the beach too. And a seagull came and was just completely squawking at me and flying at me and just letting me know. And I finally clicked that it didn't want me to go in that direction, that I was meant to leave that end of the beach for my husband and I needed to go somewhere else and find a place on Mother Earth, which I did, and had a beautiful meditation. So, you know, the all manner of beings is available to help us at any given moment. We just have to be open to recognizing the messages we're getting. Anyway, what I guess I really wanted to share in this podcast is that as I deepen into consciousness more, what I can, if you like, manage or be around in the world, I'm discovering needs to be adjusted. And it's to do with, and this will be happening to all of you as well, that as we heal, as we sink more out of our heads and into living from our higher self, our spirit, which you could say resides more in our heart, as we do that, our whole vibration shifts. And I remember when I was a GP 20 years ago, I used to hear the term vibration and think whoever was saying it was just a bit loopy. Well, now I really know that it actually is about vibration. Even Albert Einstein said that everything that we think of as physical is really just energy whose vibration is slowed enough that we can see it. So I want to let you know that as we heal and sink into our hearts, our vibration increases. And that means that putting ourselves in environments where the vibration is different to that of our own can be hard and cannot serve us. And so sometimes it does mean we may need to, and some of you will have experienced this, that as you grow and heal and perhaps you don't want to do the same thing socially, you might not want to go out every weekend and get really drunk, for instance, or just might not want to spend hours in a lot of surface level small talk, whatever it is, that you realize that you have to shift and adjust your friendships. Or perhaps it's, you know, getting deeper that you want to spend more time in silence and meditation and a lot of small talk isn't serving you, and so you want be around beings that are a bit more spiritual or spend a lot of time in nature. So this has been an ongoing process for me over many years and has been one of the hardest things about the journey. And to be honest with you, I'm still learning it, and it is all about experimentation and what I can do and what I can't do, and learning not to judge myself if I make mistakes with that. And there certainly has been a lot of alone time, a lot more alone time than I would have imagined, but it's just part of the journey. I have needed that in order to deepen into consciousness. And I don't know whether that will be an ongoing thing or whether I will find more ways of doing things. I suspect I probably will, but it's an ongoing learning for me. And this process of finding the life in this external world that suits the growth and the enables my ongoing spiritual journey is hard. And when change is required, I have noticed I often resist it. And so just very recently, something happened that was to do with that. And there was a reason why I was resisting it. And it's to do with, I have this mother who's 94, whom of course I love. But of course, given that she's 94 and she keeps telling me that she may be pegging out soon, and it's possible, of course, when you're 94, it's possible that could happen. And for as long as I can remember, I have visited her once a week, occasionally more, though I try to be, I have tried to be firm with how much I'm there. Because, you know, she's 94 and we want to see our mother and I love her and care about her. But recently something happened to me that completely took me by surprise, because I thought I was living in alignment, or at least mostly in alignment, with my spiritual self. So I'll tell you what happened. I went down to the beach this day, and it was after we had quite a significant storm recently over a weekend, and it was two nights. And during the storm, there was a lot of wind, rain, and a huge swell in the ocean. And anyway, I went down on the Monday morning to the ocean, and the storm was subsiding and the swell was therefore subsiding. And I went to my usual beach, but there was quite a big dog on the beach that looked somewhat unfriendly, and its owner didn't know I was there. And so I thought, maybe I won't go down there, because I have learned to trust that sometimes, you know, sometimes dogs are a bit anxious of people. And so you just wouldn't choose, while it's off the leash, to go walking straight up to it. So anyway, I now realize, I think I was directed to a different beach, which was Waterman's Bay. And I walked down the wooden steps that are at the northern end of Waterman's Bay, and I went for a walk and, you know, did some other exercises and things. And then I did what I always do at the end, was sit down and meditate. And this day, because the swell was receding, I thought, oh, I'll sit just in front of there's a rail at the bottom of the stairs. I'll sit just in front on these, well, actually it wasn't quite just in front, but close to being in front on these big concrete cushions that are there to stop erosion. And I had sat down closer to where the surf was, the reef and the surf, and I had got a little bit of spray, so I moved up a bit. But then in that position, I was not getting any spray and no water was coming on me, and I, you know, felt that I was safe to sit there and close my eyes and meditate. So I sat there for about 30 minutes and had a beautiful meditation in the wind and the salt and, yeah, just being at the ocean. And then just as I was getting to the end of my meditation, my eyes were completely closed and I didn't hear a single thing. I got absolutely smashed, and I mean smashed, by a wave. It lifted me up off this concrete pillow thing I was sitting on, threw me into the steel rails at the end that was just behind me. I got completely saturated from head to foot, underneath my raincoat and on top of my raincoat. One shoe got shoved inland and the other shoe got taken back out to sea. As I smashed into the rail, and it was my thigh that smashed into the rail, thank goodness. If it was my head, I don't know if I'd even be here, to be honest. I was able to grab the rail so I didn't get taken back out over the reef and into the ocean. And I was completely floored. And the first thing I thought, I'd quickly got under the rail, but my thigh was absolutely a mess. I had a really badly corked thigh, and it's still bruised, actually. And it was a few weeks later, still badly bruised. But I could barely walk. I was completely saturated. It was freezing cold. Thank goodness my phone and my keys were in the pockets of my raincoat. They still did get wet because I got fully saturated, but they worked, which was good. And then I had to hobble back up the stairs, just one leg at a time, because I couldn't use my left leg hardly at all. And I had to hobble. I'd parked the car quite a way away because of the salt spray, and the day before I'd parked my car too close, and my husband had suggested that I didn't do that because the car gets covered in salt spray. So anyway, I had to hobble all the way back up to this park, and still freezing cold. But, you know, the very first thing that I thought when I grabbed that rail, and once I'd got through it and I knew I was safe, and was, what in earth is the universe trying to teach me? Because it was just such a dramatic thing to happen. And I sat with that day after I'd showered and put everything through the wash and warmed myself up and put a bandage on my thigh so I wouldn't keep swelling up. I tuned in and I realized, oh, I'm spending a little bit too much time with Mum, which was a really hard recognition for me. And I'd realized I'd just completely shut down any idea of lessening that, because of course I didn't want to. She's 94. I love her. As she says, she may pig out soon. And I just want to let you know, this is what we all do. If we have our own agenda going on deep inside, which is, there's no way I'm going to stop something. And for me, being a carer has been one thing that I've really had to work on over my life. And I think for many of you, there is that. So I had this agenda going on, and it just wasn't something that I was open to at all. So I didn't even consider it. But I realized after that event that, in fact, it wasn't serving me to be going quite as regularly into that big building with all those people there and spending a lot of time in that place. It just wasn't serving my spiritual journey and where that is at the moment. And it doesn't mean that I can't care for Mum in other ways. And of course I will see her, perhaps a little bit less often, but I will manage things for her from my own home as well, like, you know, people to help drive her to places and, you know, appointments for her and things like that. So of course I can still do that. But it was really hard and painful for me to come to that recognition, but I sat with it for a few days and realized, no, this is part of what I need to do. And on numerous occasions in the past when I've had to shift something that my egoic self has really not wanted to shift, I've discovered that if it's wholesome for me, it actually turns out to be wholesome for them too. And sometimes you can't see how it's going to be wholesome. It feels like it couldn't possibly be wholesome. But the truth is, if in some way this is spiritually wholesome for me, because it will help me align more and not... See, that's the thing. If I keep putting myself in environments that take me out of where I need to be, it doesn't serve my continued journey into where I need to be. So it doesn't mean that I can't do that on certain occasions. It's just the amount or what feels wholesome. And anyway, on numerous occasions when I've had to let go of perhaps friendships or seeing friends less, or even with my children, to trust the decisions they're making, to realize that, you know, I can't change it, that they are going to have to learn through whatever outcome those decisions might create. And sometimes all of us, we do have to suffer. It's part of our learning. And for me, it's often been my suffering that has taught me. And that's the case with our loved ones as well. And we've got to stop thinking that we have to protect our loved ones from all suffering, because that's been one of my biggest issues, is thinking I have to protect my loved ones from suffering when I don't, because their suffering is the thing that's going to wake them up. And I would challenge all of you to tune in and realize that your suffering often has been what has woken you up. It's not that we have to wake up by suffering. If we're tuning in enough and gentle enough with ourselves and open to what we need, we don't need to suffer. But I certainly needed to be thrown against those bars at the beach and hurt my thigh, because I was not going to change my weekly visits to Mum unless something really showed me that I needed to adjust it. So, of course, I sat on it for a few days because I really did want to make sure that it was felt right, that's what the beach was trying to tell me, that this is what I needed to do. And it did feel that I did need to look after my energy a little more. So I went and had a somewhat, well, sad for me conversation with my mum, but my mum is a bit spiritual, and although she was a little bit grumpy, and in fact her exact words were, because I had said to her, you know, mum, it's just that spirit's telling me that I, you know, it's not about not looking after you at all, it's just about looking after the environments that I put myself in, and that I may be coming a little less, but I'm still here and I'm not going anywhere. And anyway, after I told mum that spirit was telling me something, mum said, her exact words were, I'm going to be having a talk to spirit myself, which is typical of mum. But in fact, she's been quite good about it. And I do recognize that it will be good for her in some way, shape or form, even though I can't see that at the moment. I know that that will be the case, because if we are choosing what is wholesome for us, it will be wholesome for our loved ones. And it's often to do with that they need to experience something, or if we're one of those people, and I have had this issue where we feel like we need to rescue or save, or, you know, people, it doesn't serve. People don't grow. They don't wake up. So all we're doing is stopping them from growing if we are in rescue mode or wanting to protect others from suffering. It's not that we can't be a loving being and can't have deep empathy and can't do what's wholesome. Of course we can. It's more that we have to look after our energy first, and that will end up being wholesome for them too. And so even for all of you, you know, if you feel a bit exhausted or a bit worn out or a bit on edge or a bit grumpy when you're doing things, and I was, interestingly, finding myself a little bit grumpy with mum or a bit short with her when I was going around there, and I didn't want to be that, but that was starting to let me know that maybe I didn't need to be here quite as often or spend less time or whatever it is. So I want to let you know, if you are, you know, sometimes grumpiness is because of our own conditions that we need to face, but sometimes grumpiness or feeling irritable is just because we're overwhelming ourselves, or because we are continuing to put ourselves in places that aren't serving us. And we need to let that grumpiness or irritability, or, you know, inform us and let us know what needs to shift, or what boundaries we need to set, or what we need to say no to. And even if, you know, it doesn't feel like, or we can't see the benefit that our boundaries or our saying no or our looking after our own energetic needs can have on those around us, even if we can't see it, definitely as we allow that for ourselves and our vibration is continuing to shift and we are sinking more and more into love, that will have a ripple effect on the beings around us. Whether or not they even notice that, or whether or not we even notice that, the more we sink into love, the more benefit we're going to bring, not just ourselves, those around us, and the whole planet as well. So it brings me to something else which continuously surprises me, and that is that the journey of spirituality does not lack firmness. In fact, I'm having to be more firm than I have ever been in my entire life. And, you know, I told you before that I've had the absolute privilege of spending time with deeply enlightened beings. And they had firmness, you know, absolute unconditional love, but also the ability to be firm and to look after exactly what they needed. And I'm realizing it, you know, that, and in fact, in every way, we don't get to heal until we face our shadow, our darkness, our fear, our pain, our anger, our jealousy, our frustrations, whatever it is, until we face our shadow and our light. And we don't get to heal if we don't create the space for ourselves. So in other words, we don't keep the world at bay in some ways. You know, we don't protect our space, let's put it that way. Which means it's going to mean boundaries in our relationships, being a little bit aware of the places we put ourselves in, spending a lot of time in nature, because nature is just beautiful and gentle and has a very beautiful vibration. sitting on Mother Earth, even being very careful of social media, of the podcasts we listen to, of the music we listen to, of the amount of news we watch, or just the amount of all that energetic stimulation that exists on our planet at the moment, just how much we expose ourselves to. And I also want to share with you about, you know, when perhaps when you hear me talk about setting boundaries or saying no, or particularly setting boundaries about things that are pretty hard, you know, sometimes that brings up fear in all of you thinking, am I going to have to do that? And the truth is, if you are growing, you will have to do that. But I do want to let you know that it will happen when you are ready for it to happen, although sometimes you might need reminders, as I have needed. And even though it will feel scary and it will feel vulnerable, and that's just part of the journey, you know, we have to step towards vulnerability, it will be okay, because you don't have to do what you're not ready to do. Spirit will make you face or make adjustments to things only when, if you like, it knows, or your higher self knows, that you can actually do it, that it's okay. And I want to let you know that every time you're prepared to be vulnerable, you will receive a lot of help from your family of light, from spirit. If you open to what's wholesome for you, you will receive a lot of help. So try not to be put off the journey. It is, you know, the journey of healing is the steep and narrow path, as people have said many times. It does take courage. We do have to face our fear. It is in many ways hard. However, we do deepen into love. We do grow. The amount of suffering we experience does lessen. We start to trust more and more in the love that's available. And what's more than that, all the beings around us will be benefiting from that. And the whole of Mother Earth and Mother Earth herself will be benefiting from that. So yes, it's hard, but your suffering will lessen. And if you're listening to this podcast, you obviously are already doing it. And so you know that you have the courage, you have the wisdom, you are able to keep taking those steps towards vulnerability and healing. And if you need some help or some guidance on your journey, I would love to see you. It's an absolute privilege for me watching others open their hearts. I think that's enough for today. Thank you for being with me. It's been an absolute pleasure to share with you. And as always, I'd love you to share this podcast with friends or family or anyone you think may be interested. And don't forget to check me out on livingawarenesswa.com and all my other pages, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, Living Awareness WA. And I highly recommend Isaira, and her website is isaira.com. Much love to you all.